أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And it's the 15th of Sha'ban. A phenomenal day. The birthday of the savior of humankind. I'm going to start with an ayah of Quran. Surah number 28, ayah 5. This is Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 5. ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض وتجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. And we desired, we intend to bestow our favor upon those who were considered weak in the land and to make them the leaders, the أئمة, and to make them the heirs. That's what the savior of humankind will do. Imagine. Imagine that you lived your entire life in a place where the sun is always behind the clouds. Your parents, your grandparents lived there too. And so did their parents and grandparents. You've got adequate sustenance. You survive because that is what you have been taught to do. But you know that the sun exists because of the very fact that you survive. In Dua al-Adila we say, the world subsists due to his existence, due to his blessings. Creation is sustained, and on account of his existence, the heaven and the earth remain intact. Only with divine presence does this place remain intact. You have been taught the ideology of Tawheed, and although around you there is ample proof of the existence of Allah, you wish to see, you wish to hear such an individual that will prove conclusively, not only to you, but to all those who doubted you, that there is a representative of divinity on this earth. This restlessness, this sadness in the soul is the missing of the Hujjat of Allah. The missing of this Imam, because Imam is the sun behind the clouds. It's not a far-fetched concept. We await for his appearance because it is the ultimate proof that the world was created by his design. Its purpose will indeed be realized. That Tawheed, monotheism, will prevail and the promise of Allah will be fulfilled. So what are the four basic things that Imam will do? He will correct theological beliefs. The right concept of God, the right concept of humanity and accountability. They will be the completion of intelligence. There is a hadith from the Prophet which says, when Arqaim makes his advent, he will place his hand over the heads of the servants of divinity. And it's possible that this means that people will be under the direction and the guidance of Imam. So then he will gather together their intelligence and complete their knowledge. Third, he will bring justice and equality. He will fill the earth with justice and equality, just as it had been filled with oppression and tyranny. And finally, he will correct the moral, ethical traits. His mission that every human being acts like the human being divinity intended him to be. And now a story, because that's what I do. That which I've heard since childhood. He was born on Friday, the 15th of Sha'ban in Samarra. Sayyidah Hakima, who is the sister of the 10th Imam, relates that she went to her nephew's house. This is the 11th Imam's house after iftar on the 14th of Sha'ban and was told by him to stay as his son was to be born. So Sayyidah Hakima stays the night. And she's asked by Imam Hasan al-Askari to continuously recite Surah Al-Qadr. At Fajr, she's surprised to hear the recitation of Surah Al-Qadr from the womb of Sayyidah Narjis, who was feeling uneasy. And Imam was born at Fajr on the 15th of Sha'ban. And Sayyidah Hakima takes him to his dad, the 11th Imam, and suddenly the infant recited the fifth ayah of Surah Al-Qasas, in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful, and we intend to bestow our favors upon those who are considered weak in the land and to make them the leaders, the imams, and to make them the heirs. Whenever I hear this ayah, 28:5, the story of his birth just comes to me as just something else. Fast forward, he is in Ghaiba, often translated as occultation. I can't even pronounce it, but to me, I use the word Ghaiba. And it can be one of two things. He's physically present, but not visible through the grace of Allah. Just like we read in Surah Yasin, Ayah 9, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. There's a barrier before them, a barrier behind them, and they've got a sort of covering on their eyes so they don't see him. So he is there, but we don't see him. And the second thing could be that he's present, we see him, he recognizes us, but we do not recognize him. Just like in Surah Yusuf, that's Surah number 12, Ayah 58. Allah says, وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. And Yusuf's brothers came and went to see him, and he knew them while they did not recognize him. Imam is here, and that is why today we write an Aridha. Supposed to write that every time we need some help. So Aridha literally means a petition, a formal written request appealing to authority in respect of a particular cause. Often we overlook the lessons that Aridha gives us. Number one, it's about trying our best to resolve life's problems. When there are no resources left, then to hand it over to divinity as per the ayah of Quran, Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 129, وَوْفَوِّذُ أَمْرِي لَاللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. We hand over our affairs to Allah. He is watchful over those who are connected to him. Now this is through the wasila of the imam of our time. Number two, it's akin to handing over a task that one is unable to do to someone whom you trust implicitly to carry it out and know that the outcome, whatever it might be, is the best. Now, as a child, and even now, I write arithas and then I find a flowing stream to put it in there. And the idea of putting it in water is to ensure, number one, that metaphorically you've handed it over. No going back to analyze it or despair over it. Number two, water purifies and transports, and thus the posting of the aritha in a river or stream. When posting, we're to address Hussein ibn Rauh. Now, he was the third representative of Imam. It's an indication of life in Barzakh, if one has strived in the way of Allah in the world. And it's really important to understand this. Refer to Ayah 169 of Surah number 3, where Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Do not think of those who have given their lives in the way of Allah as dead. They are alive and they're provided sustenance from their Rabb. And finally, a translation of what is written on that piece of paper you get, which is called an aridha. It is a dua, and it's good to know what is written on it. So it says, I write to you, O my master, and I'm in need of your help. I complain about what has happened to me. I seek refuge with Allah. Then with you from affairs which have darkened my days, they've occupied my heart and my thoughts, and they've taken away my inner peace. Keep me safe from imagining the coming of problems. Free me from what you see of my inclination of devotion to others rather than Allah, and my failing to protect myself against my own self, and my lack of patience and strength, which tears me apart. I trust in divinity's wisdom. Praise be to him, and you in the planning about me. The knowledge of your status is with Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the guardian of all arrangements, the master of all affairs. I'm confident that you will intercede for me. Praise be to him, Allah, in all my affairs. I am absolutely certain in the answer from Allah. To him alone do I present my pleas, and you, my Mola, my master, is my intercessor. I know it is only Allah who is the one who can actualize my needs, effect my thoughts, and I confirm my hope in you for my affairs. We then write our needs, what we want, and remember that Allah tells Musa, ask for the shoelace in your shoes. Ask for the salt from your dough. Write down everything. And after we've written that, there is another paragraph which says, this which I have penned is what I have no strength and patience to bear. Maybe I deserve it because of my bad deeds or my neglecting that my responsibilities. So I plead to you in helping me. Oh, my master, with my longing, I present my wants to Allah before destruction and the gloating of enemies. I declare the blessings of Allah and I ask Allah for help, honor and a clear success in achieving that which I hope for and the best of beginnings and completion of all my actions and safety from fear in everything. Indeed, Allah is great in praise in whatever he does, and he is enough, and he's the best of guardians questions in origins and conclusions. Many, many felicitations today on the birth of the Savior of humankind. And let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us protection from these difficult times that we're going through at the moment. To grant shafa, to grant healing to those who are ill and to those who are in pain. To grant respite to those who are in difficulty and to those who are suffering. In our arizas, we have to remember the suffering of those around us first. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.